Hello there, welcome along to the Sweet Spot, the Racing Post's weekly golf show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. I haven't dressed up just for the Sweet Spot. It's a sensational sporting week. We've got Royal Ascot. I'm off there later today. Can't wait for that. We've got the Euros. What a fascinating tournament this is going to be. And of course, we've got one of the highlights of the golfing year, the brilliant US Open at stunning Torrey Pines. We'll be hearing from Steve about who he fancies in just a minute. First, we should recap on last week, Steve. Not too much to say about the pairs event. Jonathan Caldwell, 150-1 outside, 37-year-old journeyman. He had a storming weekend and got the job done. Did you enjoy it, the format? I thought it was quite good, the mixed element.
I thought the tournament officials could be very proud of themselves because it was a lot closer than I anticipated. There was a lot of ladies on that leaderboard for a long way. In the end, only one finished in the top nine, I believe. But it was nice level tournament. I saw a lot more of that tournament than I wanted to, actually, because my son insisted on having that on. I put it on at halftime in the England game, and he wouldn't let me go back to the England game. I missed Raheem Sterling's goal.
Are you kidding me?
No, he was going absolutely mental when I put the football back on. He's just obsessed with the golf. So yeah, I saw most of Caldwell's 64. Really topsy turvy finish. Bogey, birdie, bogey. You birdie, great shot to the last. Very similar to the British Masters in the respect you had an established champion three putting to gift the maiden the victory. You had with Richard Bland took advantage of Guido Migliozzi three putting. Adrian Ottagoy on that last on the 18th hole there, just three jab. You're probably watching the football very
wide. I was watching football.
Very similar to the British Masters. And then obviously across the pond,
Garrick Higo got it done, didn't he? But Garrick what a funny Higo ending that done. Was, wasn't it? I mean,
It was unbelievable drama. No, Chesson Hadley had to feel for him, three bogeys to finish the round there.
And they sneaked his wife in, hadn't they? And she was sort of skulking along the fairways out of sight, hoping for the emotional legging it onto the green. And
I can only think
what the atmosphere would have been like when she showed up.
Yeah, you had to feel for Chesson Hadley, and Harris English had a late implosion as well. And Tyrrell Hatton almost won. Tyrrell Hatton gained 14.555 strokes from tee to green last week.
He had back-to-back chip-ins, didn't he, Steve? I noticed
back-to-back eagles. Yeah, back-to-back eagles in round three. His long game was fantastic, but his putting was awful. Any sort of half decent bit of putting last week, Hatton would have won that. But he tied for second. Never mind. Save it for the US Open.
Yeah. So pointless for you and pointless for me, of course, as well. That didn't go.
Oh right. My gosh! Yeah. You had an appearance on pointless, and did you finish last?
I was one of the first eliminated, along with my daughter. terrible question. Did you see it? Films beginning with like, and they left the word out, and the word began with J. I mean, goodness.
I don't know the format, really, so I was struggling to work out exactly what was happening, but I knew you were struggling.
You basically have to get a correct answer. They ask 100 people to sort of provide the answers, and you have to guess a correct answer, but it has to be one of the least popular ones, if you like, you know?
So you have to go for the
most obscure correct answer. That's the name.
My wife said your daughter had a very nice outfit on, if that's any consolation. She was impressed with Daisy's outfit, but I don't think either of us were impressed with your performance.
No, it was pathetic. Never mind. Okay. But anyway, back to the golf. And yeah, I mean, Garrick Higo, he's been on our radar, hasn't he?
So has he ever.
He wouldn't have been far off getting tipped, would he? But the point is, he's 21. He's gone and conquered America now in a bona fide tournament. He's the real deal, isn't he?
Yeah. Really good temperament in the ice cool customer. His short game has come on leaps and bounds lately. I think Garrick Higo's going places. Yeah, it's a shame really for the European Tour, our beloved European Tour. He won't be playing there much more. But Garrick Higo has destroyed me.
Okay. Well, it's something I hear there's a, you know, my pointless trauma. You've got massive issues, haven't you, with your keyboard? I mean, this is a week where you smash out upwards of 30,000 words. Tell us all about what's happened there.
Well, my computer's just imploded under the strain of it all. Fortunately, the player guide is complete, and that will be appearing in Wednesday's Racing Post and online very soon. But the E button has just snapped off my keypad. I just went to press it and it just crumbled around me. And then I got the super glue out to try and fix it. I thought, yeah, I've got to do this immediately. I've got the super glue in there. That's made things worse, just jammed it in there. So to make the E button work now, I have to really press on it hard. So it slowed me down. And to rub salt into the wounds, the fellow that's solving this crisis is called Sandeep. So every time I'm emailing Sandeep, it's two E's. It's taken ages to do that. So I'm struggling with speed at the moment. But
that's probably the worst letter for that to happen, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I did wonder. Well, that must be you. Yeah, it's in the. You know, the is a popular word.
I think E is known as the most typed letter. So that's probably why it went, isn't it? It's probably why it crumbled.
New laptop coming soon, but yeah, I'm not at full speed. But don't you worry about that. I can talk.
Okay, well, that's good. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, then, right then, Steve, let's look ahead to the US Open. Starts on Thursday. It's on the West Coast, so it's going to be a slightly later finish, isn't it? Which is a bit of a blow, but never mind. That's all right. It's going to be a fantastic tournament, and unlike a lot of US Opens, where they'll pull these kind of venues out of the hat, Shinnecock Hills and various others that you've never really seen before. We know Torrey Pines very well, don't we? Will Torrey Pines be the same kind of test for a June US Open as it is for, is it February it stages the normal tournament?
Late January. Yeah, no, it won't be the same. It'll be firmer, it'll be faster. It'll be, the greens will be even more tricky than they normally are. The greens, you know, the Poana greens, very bumpy, normally cause a lot of problems for the players. This time they're particularly unwelcoming. So you've got 7,652 yards, par 71. It places a par 72 for the Farmers, par 71 for this. Hosting the US Open for the second time. You must remember, I know I always test your memory.
I remember this one.
Yeah, I mean, arguably the greatest major in the history of golf, Tiger Woods and Rocco Mediate jousting for the title there. Tiger with a broken leg. I mean,
that's
literally
13 years ago. Can you believe that?
It's frightening, and it doesn't get any better than that, though. I think that's the greatest major ever.
Also one of my favourite ever commentary clips when Mediate rolls in a massive putt, and as it drops, Butch says, "Who is Rocco Mediate anyway?"
it was a good question at the time. I mean, you couldn't have get two more contrasting players. I mean, Tiger Woods was one of the biggest hitters in the game at that time. Rocco Mediate, an absolute plodder, and they all came together in the playoff. So hopefully we'll get a tournament as exciting as that. But the Farmers form, as you say, I think it is relevant because it's always a stiff tee to green test, but not as relevant perhaps as the 2008 US Open. Remember, you only get 54 holes on the south course in the Farmers. You have 18 holes on the north course. But yeah, I think you want quality ball strikers on your side, fairways and greens. What about hitting fairways and greens?
Okay, well, let's look at the market before Steve gives us his selection. These are guide prices. 10-1, Big Johnny Rahm. 16-1, Dustin Johnson. 18, Brooks Koepka. 18, DeChambeau, his old mate. We'll have a chat about them in a minute. Rory's 20. Schauffele's 20. Jordan Spieth is 20. It's quite a lot of golfers here that don't have an E in their name. John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson. So there's a few that might be easier to type if you're tipping them. 16-1, Justin Thomas and Colin. Sorry, 22-1, Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa. 25-1, Victor Hovland, Patrick Reed, Tony Finau, Patrick Cantlay, 28-1, Barr. And as we always say, shop around for each ways, because the bookmakers, some firms are only offering 6 places, others, including Skybet, are offering 11. The firms that offer the most places sometimes have shorter prices, but not always. It's always worth sniffing around and getting the best price, but also tempering that with looking at whether you should take maybe a slightly shorter price to get extra places. Hopefully that makes sense. How many selections?
I'm going to wait for the abuse of having 7 selections, Bruce. All right, okay. 7 selections. I think the problem I've had in the last few months is not having enough selections. All my eggs have been going in, hardly any baskets. The problem last week, you know, Garrett Kiggo, in the others to know, is the last name off the shortlist. He's top of the others to know. God knows why I didn't have him in there. So I'm not going to make the same mistake this week. I've only got one tournament. Actually, we've got 11 places to gun for. I'm going to have 7 selections shamelessly.
Cool. Am I going to be able to make the first at Ascot of this? Right, let's get your headliner, Steve.
The number one selection is Colin Morikawa. His first major win came in the USPGA Championship in California. He's a Californian who loves competing in his home state. His comfort levels at Torrey Pines extremely high. And I think the US Open setup at Torrey sets up perfectly for him. It's going to play firmer and faster. It's more of a premium on tee to green control. Nobody is more in control than Morikawa. He's top of the US Tour greens and regulation statistic. He's first for strokes gained on approach. He's going to be approaching these tiny greens, very small greens, more confidence than anyone. And I think it's also worth noting that all the serious trouble at Torrey Pines is down the left-hand side. There's loads of out-of-bounds left. There's none on the right. You're normally fine missing right. The fact that Morikawa hits that lovely left-to-right faded shot, he's working away from the trouble. Perfect setup. Already won a WGC this year. He was 8th in the USPGA. He was a playoff loser last time out in the Memorial. the best iron player that's ever lived is Tiger Woods. He won the last US Open at Torrey Pines. Morikawa is the best iron player of his generation.
Oh, you sound very confident there. Okay, Colin Morikawa, the number one tip. Just the other six, are they as kind of mixture of market leaders and long shots?
Get progressively bigger. Yeah, we get bigger up to.
Okay, if it's not Morikawa, it is.
Next best is Victor Hovland, another player who likes to hit a fade. I think faders are favoured. He's only 23, but he's already established one of the best players in the world. He's certainly in the top 10 ball strikers in the world, and he's shown he can handle major venues. His US amateur win in 2018 came at a US Open venue, Pebble Beach. Then he was 12th in the 2019 US Open at Pebble Beach. Similarities between Pebble Beach and Torrey Pines. He was 13th in the US Open last year. He tied second on his Farmers Insurance Open debut at Torrey Pines in January. Patrick Reed ran away with that tournament, five short of victory. You must remember that one. A bit of skullduggery as well on his way. But Patrick Reed actually took one shot more than Colin Morikawa at Torrey Pines South. Reed shot 64 at the North, but Hovland excelled at the South, second round 65 at the South. He was fifth at Riviera and his other California start this year. I think he goes close to a major breakthrough this year.
Okay, we've got Morikawa, we've got Hovland, and we've got
lots of beeps in my ear. You know those chat room things you get on the email. They does your computer alert you when someone sends you a message?
I very much try and make sure my devices don't resemble pinball machines. It just drives me mad.
Oh, my gosh. I've just got beep, beep, beep. Yeah, sorry, I will battle through it.
Have you ever heard of, I think I heard a recording of, it might have been Jeff Stelling or someone, and what he has going into his ear when he's doing Soccer Saturday. And it's just constant babble from various people. So I'm sure he'd love to just have your beeps. Come on, rise above.
Come on, Jeff. Yeah, the number three selection, Will Zalatoris. Podcast favourite, supreme ball striker, loves major venues. He's finished sixth, second and eighth in the last three majors. A US Open setup at Torrey Pines, absolutely perfect for him. He's a Californian. He grew up on Poana Greens. He says he loves putting on Poana Greens. And not everyone's cup of tea, but they are for him. He finished seventh in the Farmers Insurance Open at the start of the year. Lag putting probably his only weakness now. Very small greens at Torrey Pines. Take the pressure off that. He's made for US Open combat. I see a first major title for Zalatoris on Sunday.
Okay, have a little swig of your Diet Coke while I recap, because it sounds like you need to wet your whistle. So we've got Morikawa, we've got Hovland, and we've got Will Zalatoris. Steve very much putting his faith in the young guns so far. Is your whistle wet?
My whistle's wet, yeah. Okay, Number four selection, Shane Lowry. Seems so happy at the moment. Shane Lowry is so happy at the moment, really cheerful in interviews, really positive about his game. He knows he gave his Ryder Cup chances. He's desperate for a Ryder Cup debut. And that final round in the USPGA with Padraig Harrington, where they both played exceptionally, both shot 69, both finished fourth, has done his Ryder Cup chances the world of good. He's been buzzing since then. He followed up with sixth place in the Memorial. He was eighth in the Players' Championship, swinging really well. All my selections so far, oozing tee to green control. Lowry fits in that category, but you've also got a little bonus with Lowry. He's got those magic hands around the greens. There's going to be lots of greens missed this week. His scrambling skills around these small greens are a huge bonus. He was second in the US Open in 2016 behind Dustin Johnson, and he could have. He's still got the claret jug around. He could have the claret jug and the US Open trophy in his possession.
He could have
two major trophies in his possession on Sunday night. Number
he's
five.
He's had 2 years
selection.
Of that on his mantelpiece. That's a bonus, isn't it?
he has. But as his title defence has approached, he started playing better. I think Shane Lowry is a good place at the moment. Number five selection is Jason Kokrak. Jason Kokrak has added two ingredients to his game over the last year: a great putting stroke and great courage. He's won two PGA Tour titles, and he's gone up against top class opposition in there. He's beaten Xander Schauffele in the CJ Cup, and he's beaten Jordan Spieth at Colonial last time out. I mean, if you beat Spieth in Texas, you remember that tournament not that long ago? Jordan Spieth, yeah, playing in his home state.
Spieth
all
had a really poor final round, didn't he, to be fair? He did sort of hand it to him, didn't he?
He did play poorly, but Jason Kokrak, bravely won that tournament, with all the crowd pulling for Spieth. He's putting superbly now, Jason Kokrak. He's become a good putter. He's come of age at the age of, in his mid-30s. Very unusual. He's got a solid Torrey Pines record. I think Jason Cockcrack can go close. And they've got two more at three-figure prices.
We should just remind people as we're going along what rough prices you can get about these guys, shouldn't we? So 40-1, I think, for Larin. I've seen 60-1 for Cockcrack. I don't know if there's better out there. But, okay, so we've got a couple of long shots to finish the portfolio, have we?
We have. We've got two American veterans. As you say, sided with the younger guys early in the staking plan, but I've got two veterans who I think would be inspired by Phil Mickelson. Charlie Hoffman. Phil Mickelson is obviously the main story this week. We haven't mentioned him this week
so far.
Looking to complete the career Grand Slam in his home city of San Diego. But there's another San Diego man who could go extremely well. Hoffman grew up down the road from Torrey Pines. He qualified for the Farmers when it was the Buick Invitational three times as an amateur. He's played well there as a pro. He's won four PGA Tour titles. He's been threatening a fifth this year, seventh at Pebble Beach, 10th at Bay Hill, runner-up in the Texas Open, third at Colonial. His approach shots have been exceptional this year. I think that's going to be crucial to his chances. And as I say, I think he'll be inspired by Mickelson. They're regular practice partners. They have cash games to sharpen up for tour events. So he's seen his mate can do it. He can do it as well. He's only 44, Charlie Hoffman. And then the final, in comparison to 50-year-old Mickelson, you know, winning the USPGA. And the final one is Stuart Sink, who is 48 years of age. You know, see, Mickelson can do it at 50. I think Stuart Sink is capable of doing it at 48. He's been playing some of the best golf of his life over the last year. He loves having his son as a caddy. It's providing a real inspiration for him. They won the Safeway Open in California in September. He's back
by
in
half the track, wasn't it?
He won the Safeway Open fairly comfortably. They're back in California this week. He was third in the 2008 Buick Invitational at Torrey Pines. He was 14th. Not many players played in that 2008 US Open. Stuart Sink was one of them. And he finished 14th. 2 months ago, Sink won again. RBC Heritage, four-shot victory. He was 12th in the Masters prior to that. And the most fascinating thing about Stuart Sink is driving distance stats. I mean, Torrey Pines is a big boys course. Long driving traditionally helps there. Sink is 29th on the PGA Tour driving distance stats. You know, the new equipment has helped a lot of the older players, particularly Stuart Sink. You know, he's keeping up with the youngsters. You know, he's a major champion, 2009 Open champion. I think he can threaten us. You know, he's certainly go well. I think, you know, 150-1, some place money to be had there from Stuart Sink.
Lovely. Very interesting. Excellent. I wasn't expecting that collection of golfers, Steve. A quick word about... Have they done the three balls draw? I haven't seen
it. No. I've not seen it yet.
Are they going to put Kupka and DeChambeau together?
I think they'll probably bottle it, won't they? And won't, you know, just...
They're reining back on it now, aren't they? They're trying to say it's just banter and it's just, you know, part of the sort of, you know, the kind of showbiz element. But I don't know. I sort of detected a bit of proper enmity between them.
Well, everyone wants to see it, so they you know, should give the people what they want and put them together. But I think the organisers might shy away from it. I mean, I think they've created a rod for their own back. What does that mean? Rod for his own.
I literally don't know. I have no idea what that one means. Created a rod for your own back.
A rod for their own back because they've planted all that extra bonus money in. Did you see that? They've planted all the extra bonus money in for people who are pulling the needle, to free another ridiculous phrase. Anyone who's creating social media interest. Did you miss that story?
I missed that.
Yeah. There's like $40 million of extra prize money coming in for anyone who's got like creating hits and social media stuff.
That's what this is all about then, isn't it?
They've encouraged this sort of behaviour because, you know, obviously good golf and positive stories create hits, but also these sort of things do as well, so I don't know what's going on.
That's a bit unfair, isn't it? So you've got to now be more sort of flamboyant on social media, have you? I mean, there's a few quiet guys there. I mean, you know, someone like my old pal David Toms, he wouldn't have got involved in all that old nonsense, would he?
No.
That'd be good for you, would it, if we started paying people based on social media interactivity? You can't stand it, can you?
No, that's right. But no, hopefully they get paid again and hopefully they have a big scrap.
Right, let's have a spin through the market leaders who you haven't mentioned, and there's a few there. Big Johnny Rahm, I mean, he's jumped to favouritism after his obviously heartbreaking narrow miss last time when he was six shots. And he was kind of moral winner last time, wasn't he? So the assumption seems to be that he'll just go on and win this now. Do you agree with, well, you obviously don't agree with it because you haven't tipped him, but I mean, did you come close?
Yeah, I think he's got a massive chance. I mean, he got out of quarantine earlier than was expected. He's had time to prepare. He got out on Saturday, yeah, because he had a couple of negative tests. Great farmer's insurance record, great California record. If he brings that memorial form to Torrey Pines, obviously a huge crowd. I think 10 to 1 is just about the right price. I don't want to put people off, but I prefer to take advantage of these each way places, bigger prices each way bets. Yeah, the last two names off the shortlist were John Rahm and Justin Sir. So he had the 10 to 1 favourite and a 500 to 1 chance.
Justin Sir,
S-J. Justin Sir, yeah, Justin Sir is available at 500 to 1. I think that's a big price.
You know,
price.
You get those. You know when you play golf with like an old boy and they go, and you hit a decent shot and they go, shot, sir, don't they? Do you think Jonathan Sir's opponent says, shot, sir?
I should hope so, yeah. He's a big talent. He's just a bit inexperienced. I think he knows Torrey Pines well. Yeah, if you can get 501 Justin Sir, I'd recommend taking that, but I can't tip eight.
But with Rahm, if people wanted to kind of cover their stakes on him so that if they're having their various other bets, but they wanted to have a single bet at 10 to 1 just to make sure that if he won, they don't lose, you wouldn't put anyone off that course of action, no?
I think it's a sensible tactic. Yeah, I mean, John Rahm has been long-range fancy for this tournament. We're having our big 20,000 to 1 accumulator.
Yeah,
I think
we're worried about his baby. His baby's
exactly.
Walking. You've got the material. What's so wrong with that?
You got the keys to the car.
I swear.
No,
I think
Johnson, you go well.
16. So, I mean, again, got himself into contention last week and then faded away. He's becoming mega unreliable, isn't he?
Yeah, it didn't do enough for me last week. It was a slight putting improvement. Putter's been the problem. It was a bit better last week. But his weak opposition, tied for 10th. As a late triple bogey, wasn't there? He's been underwhelming for a long time now, about 4 months of poor form. Not a farmer's regular. Missed the cut last time he played at Torrey Pines. No, I don't like Dustin Johnson.
Okay. The bookies are bound to be doing match bets, Kutka v DeChambeau. First of all, can either of them threaten outright? And if not, who's going to win that particular match bet?
I think DeChambeau's a better bet. I think his ability from the rough is incredible. You know, he's got his wedges are this sort of seven iron length, you know, and that allows him to create this speed through the rough. He's probably the best player from the rough, but I don't think he can reproduce those sort of bomb and gouge tactics that worked at Wingfoot. In the same fashion at Torrey Pines. Very thick, juicy Kikuyu rough at Torrey. The greens are smaller, far less welcoming. He was running balls on at Wingfoot. I don't think he can hold these greens at Torrey Pines. But yeah, I favour DeChambeau over Kupka. Kupka's form figures are miscut. That's his current form figures. His ball striking was great at Kia Island. He seems to thrive in majors. But fitness is still a lingering issue. You see the extravagant stretching he's doing when he's on the golf course now. He's clearly not 100% fit after that knee surgery. His putting was poor at Torrey, even though he finished second. Now, Cook was nowhere near my radar.
How about Rory?
Good course form. It's a driver's course. Not quite ready to trust him amid the swing changes. I think I'll probably start backing Rory next year.
Okay, fair enough. Excellent. Any other thoughts in terms of tops, top European or what? Because I think you've tipped it. Oh, you tipped Lowry, didn't you? So he'd be a top European fence, I suppose, wouldn't it? Well, Hovland's European, of course, isn't he?
Yeah. And Rahm obviously makes that a difficult market. I think Justin Rowe's top Englishman's a good one.
Yeah.
Rowe's seventh in the Masters, eighth in the USPGA, won the Farmers Insurance Open 2 years ago. I think Rowe's at 11-2 top Englishman's probably the best of the tops. The other one I like is Phil Mickelson. We really must spend some time talking about Phil Mickelson. For top left-hander, Garrick Higo is become favourite in that market, but Higo's got no Torrey Pines experience. Mickelson is a three-time Torrey Pines champion in the Buick. He finished 18th in the 2008 US Open there. The rest of the market, Bubba Watson's gone right off the board, been horrendous in his last two tournaments. Brian Harman, Robert McIntyre complete the market. So, yeah, I think Mickelson, top left-hander, Rose, top Englishman. And then if you don't mind short prices, Abraham Ansa, top Mexicans, the other one that I like, a shade of odds on.
Who's he up against? Esteban Toledo?
The Ortiz brothers. You got you got two sets of brothers this week. You got the Ortiz brothers and the Molinari brothers are back in Ireland. But yeah, I don't fancy the Ortiz brothers and Mario Carmona qualifier, no chance. So Abraham Ansa, top Mexicans, so a money buying opportunity.
Right, and of course, there's some guys, you know, really going to enjoy their time in the spotlight, like Jordan Smith and obviously Richard Bland. It's great for him, isn't it?
It's an amazing eclectic mix of players, this field. I mean, as I say, read the 156 runner player guide and you get to some players and you say, how the hell do they qualify? You know, they just a little burst of form on the European Tour and you're in the US Open. And then obviously those 36 hole qualifying events are pretty, you get some real no marks coming through that. So you've got the best players in the world and some of the worst players in the world in this field.
And as Steve says, do not miss that incredible 156 player guide to all the field that's in Racing Post tomorrow and also on racingpost.com. And Steve, will you be doing your round by round updates, Golfwise Extra, right through the week?
Very much so, yeah. Very slowly, with as fewer E's as possible in the copy.
That really is an absolute horror, isn't it? I still think that you should choose like a smart key, like the asterisk or the pound sign or something, instead of doing an E. And then they can the lads in the office can do a search and replace.
I know that was your suggestion, but can you imagine? Every time you're writing a word and you've got to put a Z instead of an E, I mean, I don't think my brain could do that.
That's fair enough. Okay, well, that's tough going. I do feel for you there because it's a tough enough week without that, isn't it? Are you enjoying the football? Well, that is mad that you couldn't even watch England.
I was trying to get him into the football. Yeah, it's his first big tournament. I thought it'd be really exciting. Obviously, it's goalless first half. We hit the post. He saw us hit the post. I thought it would generate enough excitement, but my mistake was switching over to the goal for half time, and then he wouldn't let me put it back. But we've got England Scotland coming up. That's past his bedtime. When's the next England game with an afternoon kickoff? Hopefully
I'm not sure.
The last 16. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now I was encouraged. I think France will probably upset us at some point, but we played well.
They were quite
good,
weren't they?
Really good.
I enjoyed it. I like this England team. I don't know. I'm a massive fan of Southgate as a bloke. I think he's excellent. And, I just think it'd be nice, wouldn't it, for us, the nation to be brought together. We want unity rather than division, don't we?
We do, and it looks like we might get 45,000 in for the big games, doesn't it? So 45,000 at Wembley will help our chances.
I'd say so. Yeah, it's 12,000 at Ascot today. I've had three COVID tests just to go racing. I'd stick all sorts of things up my nose and down my throat. So have you had a COVID test yet?
No, but I've had two vaccines. So
I know you've had two vaccines. But I still haven't test exhaustively.
I haven't had one.
I presume Ascot will completely pass you by, will it, this week?
Yes. I don't know much about that. I've got a top hat that Geoff sent me. If you want top hat tennis, I've still got that one. I mean, if Tyrrell Hatton had actually held any putts on Sunday, we could have both been wearing these. But Tyrrell Hatton, he missed a 5-footer on Sunday, and a 7-footer, and a 9-footer.
Never mind. Yeah. There's always another week, isn't there?
There is, and this is the week. These majors provide a great opportunity for us. Really competitive market, massive each way terms. We've got to be positive. We've got to be really, really, really attack this tournament.
Okay, attack it safely and responsibly, as we always say. Yeah,
just what I was about to say.
Okay, mate. Lovely, Steve. Thank you. We better recap the selections before we go. So, US Open starts on Thursday, and Steve Palmer's selections are as follows:
Colin Morikawa, Victor Hovland, Will Zalatoris, Shane Lowry, Jason Kokrak, Charlie Hoffman, Stuart Sink.
I tell you what, there's not many E's in those. I do think that the keyboard trauma has definitely influenced who you've tipped there. I suppose you could have tipped Shan Lowry, couldn't you? Actually, Charlie Hoffman has an E. It's EY, isn't it?
It is. Ernie Els would have been a tough one, but he's not in the field, unfortunately.
Steve Elkington. Oof. I don't think he's made it, has he?
He's not made it.
Jolly good. All right, Steve, anything else you're looking forward to, or are you just going to immerse yourself in the golf and the football this week?
Golf and the football, no. Golf and the football, stay chirpy. I've got a really good book I'm reading at the moment, which has helped me with that. Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. Have you ever read that one? It's been around for a long time.
I haven't, no. Viktor Frankl, I mean, what a name. Viktor, which is like one of those really strong names, isn't it? Hi, Viktor. And then Frankl, named after the greatest racehorse of all time. I mean, Christ, you can't go wrong with a name like Viktor Frankl, can you?
Yeah, I forgot about
just the
horse.
Name is inspirational, isn't it? So is it good?
It's a brilliant book. Yes, yeah, it's an Auschwitz survivor. And an Auschwitz survivor really levels you out when he guides you through what's happened and how he got through that. So if you're looking for mental strength, go to Viktor Frankl. He'll sort you out.
Does life have a meaning? My latest take on that is that it doesn't have a meaning. We're just sort of lucky enough to be born here. We're in a fairly safe part of the world. Just jog along, enjoy it, and get the best out of it where you can. I mean, that seems to work for me mostly.
Victor will explain to you that suffering is part of life. I mean, we could spend a long time on this. We usually end the podcast on a high note, but you know, suffering is actually part of living, and it brings you out and makes you a better person. And how you respond to suffering is actually one of the key tenets of life. Yeah. So,
working for you, is it?
It just levels you out when you go to bed at night. You know, if you go to bed after Tyrrell Hatton has produced the worst part in performance of his life and he only needed to hold one little part, he would have been in a player for Garrett Higo, for example. And then you just settle down with your book, guiding you through life in a concentration camp and how you can survive that. You count your blessings and you just sort of focus on positive mental attitudes. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, Steve, that sounds really, really good. Good luck with the tips this week, and we are back next week for another Sweet Spot.